Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Here come the Hawks. They score 5 in the third to win their 5th straight game, and now they're just 3 points out of the second wild card spot. Do they now need to go all out for making the playoffs? And baseball season is almost here. Pitchers and catchers report next week. But what will the rules be for the game? One report suggests the league and players could make some major changes to the DH and the bullpens. Will they work? It's all tonight and next on Sports Talk Live. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Let's meet the panel for tonight's show from B96, as well as Bears Unleashed on Fox 32. He is Gabe Ramirez. From the Sun-Times, Patrick Finley, and, of course, from NBCSportsChicago.com, J.J. Stankovic. So we got basketball tonight. All the fans that thought they were going to see Anthony Davis, no. We're too close to the trade deadline. Something's bothering him. That's a bummer for the fans.
Yeah, this whole thing's a bummer. I mean, the fact that he's asked for a trade to go from a market that needs him to maybe a place like L.A. or the Celtics that don't. The fact that the Bulls aren't positioned well enough to even be in the conversation about trading for him. The fact that this is a guy that you're only going to see once a year if you're a Bulls fan here, and now you don't see him, even though he's walking around upright, totally fine. Whole thing stinks.
Worst case scenario, he somehow ends up with the Bucks someday, and you have to see him a lot teamed up with the Greek Freak. That would be a nice tandem.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's an absolutely terrifying prospect. But, look, I think Pat's right. The fact that, you want to – the Bulls are so bad that you just want to see, stars come through and watch good basketball, and you don't get that opportunity because the Pelicans have to keep him healthy. I saw someone tweet this. I can't claim credit for this pun, but someone said this is the Pelican beef.
Oh no!
You don't want to claim credit for that one. That's one you just let it go.
Yeah, I think it stinks. I think you're right. I think you do want to, as a Bulls fan, you want to look at Anthony Davis's wish list, and you're like, okay, Lakers, Clippers, all right, Bucks, all right, Pacers, no Bulls. Okay, and it is disappointing, but you do want to see him come through the city. He's a Chicago guy, so I think ultimately, it bums out that he's not able to play today. But we understand, right?
Well, I mean,
he's
on the trading block. Yeah, and if he doesn't get traded tomorrow, he may take this DNP thing for the rest of the year, and then I think you have to have a conversation with Adam Silver and
then they're trying
the
to
team.
Take, yeah. Clearly.
I think he would – it sounds like he wants to play, but the Pelicans, there's no reason for them to – well, right. But there's no reason for the Pelicans to play him, because if he goes out and he tears his ACL, then – what's to say they can get the right return for him in the summer?
Yeah, or if your fans are furious because he's the only reason they bought tickets this year.
Right. You also need to keep him away from John Wall's shower.
Oh, yeah.
Because these injuries can happen not only on the field or on the court. I wonder if he's a Pelican in 24 hours, just because this feels like such a power play. And I know the smart money's on waiting, but, I mean, can the Pelicans suffer four more months of this just until, he can get flipped to the Celtics?
Speaking of that segue, here's our Ink and Law Sports Talk Live poll question of the night. We want to know, is he going to be traded before tomorrow's deadline? I'm starting to think no. And the biggest reason is they can increase the amount of teams bidding for him when the Celtics can get into the mix with all of their assets after the season because of Kyrie. So why would they do it now when one of the biggest suitors is not even involved
The Lakers are bidding against themselves right now, and I get it that you get him for half a season more and you could get him for the playoffs if you're the Lakers, but I don't think that half season is upping the Lakers' offer enough to beat out whatever the Celtics could potentially offer, because the Celtics got a lot of pretty good players they could throw in there,
well,
too.
And also, there's a reason why his agent made the request when he did. It's because he wants to go to the Lakers. He doesn't want to go to the Celtics. I mean, and
his dad doesn't want him to go to the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, that's always important to call a guy's dad, right?
I mean,
but in the Phoenix Suns.
But sometimes you speak through family.
Sometimes
you speak through family. You drop little gems. And it wasn't fortunate to hear his dad say something like that. I mean, because you want it just to be free, open for everyone that's there. But you're right. I mean, he's going to be in a Pelicans uniform. He might not be playing in a Pelicans uniform, but more than likely, he's going to end up in a Pelicans uniform after 24 hours.
I liked how Lonzo Ball saw what Anthony Davis's dad did and was like, no, that's my bit. I want my kid to go to the Suns.
I just wonder, does the commissioner, if he's still with the Pelicans, at this time tomorrow, do they make a phone call and say he better play? Because if not, what's the old baseball phrase?
Collusion.
That's this year's baseball phrase. No, but you know, the best interests of the sport are at stake if he's just going to, you know, sit down because he wants to be traded.
Well, I think he will, because the coach said he can play. But he's just not, and it's for obvious reasons, right? And I think that if we know that he's not playing because he's potentially going to be traded, then I think everyone's going to assume he's going to be playing, you know, next game.
I just wouldn't take the Lakers' offer. You're offering me Kyle Kuzma, Ball,
Ingram,
and some draft picks. Yeah. They're going to be terrible because you just teamed them up with LeBron, and those draft picks are not going to be
You're forgetting
like
about
top
the most
15.
Important player in that deal, though, is salary cap relief.
Right. Yes, true. Always. Cash considerations always popular, too.
Yeah, I would almost not trade him to the Lakers out of spite. The old Seinfeld. Just spite. They're trying to steer it in that direction, and that Lakers offer is going to be there on July 1st.
Right.
And, you know, if you take it then, that's cool. You don't need to do it right now.
I think you don't do it just because you'll be in NBA hell, right? I mean, you'll be in that, like, 5th through 8th seed, if you're the Pelicans, or just competing for that with those guys. You're not totally changing your team at all.
Why would they want to turn themselves into the Lakers now?
Right.
Lakers are terrible, and they have LeBron James. Hawks win their 5th straight game last night. It was fun to watch, which has been rare this season. All of a sudden, they got hot. It's the longest winning streak of the season. A big third period. So, I keep saying this every night. Do we want to talk about the playoffs yet? Is it a possibility? And it was sort of a joke at the beginning. Now, they're closing in. Mikko Koivu, the captain of the Wild, is out for the season with a torn ACL. Not so crazy anymore.
I mean, Cam Ward the last 3 games has been great. Their power play the last, 8 games?
Terrific.
Has been spectacular. If you think you can keep that up, sure. The NHL's not like the NBA. You know, when you're the 8th seed in the playoffs, you're not being fed to the Wolves. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually have a pretty good chance. I think it's fair to talk about it now. It's also fair to talk about whether it's in the best interest of the team to do everything they can to get in, or for them to kind of stick with, you know, not trying to cap themselves out, price themselves out.
They're in that gray area.
I think that get back to me after Thursday when they play the Canucks, because that, to me, if they can go and they can win 6 straight by beating the Canucks, then I'll be like, okay, you know what? They'll be 1 point out of the spot at that point, depending on whatever results happen. If they can do that, I'll be like, okay, like, let's go after this a little bit.
And they definitely have momentum. I mean, not only just the 5-game winning streak, right? I mean, but that game last night, they were down 2-1 going into the third, right? So it wasn't it was a blowout, the whole game. I mean, it was some momentum that was built. It was against a good team. So you would like to see them. They're muddled in with a lot of other teams at the bottom of the heap. But again, like I said, with that momentum against the Canucks, if they could pull that one off, that could give them some much-needed attention.
Kane, DeBrincat, Taves, those guys are all having really good seasons. And you would say with Corey Crawford out, goaltending's been a problem, but it hasn't been the problem, and he's been on the ice. So, I don't know. It's a real tricky situation because the future tells you they should probably be sellers.
Right.
But if you're a fan, you absolutely should be thinking, I want him to go for it.
I think it's worth considering the market here, too. I mean, the Bulls haven't been interesting in, 18 months, probably. I mean, the Cubs and White Sox are going to spring training. There's still no Manny Machado, last I checked, unless something happened in the last 5 minutes. Chicago could use something to be happy about. You know, the Cubs are embroiled in their own really bad thing right now. Man, it'd be fun to have something fun happen in Chicago sports between now and, I don't know, the opening day.
Even just besides fun, something for me to really get invested in and care about, even if they fall short. I'd actually like to watch the Blackhawks in a race for the playoffs because, like Pat mentioned, you can get into the playoffs in the NHL as the 8th seed and then all of a sudden go on this run when you have Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves, Duncan Keith, and guys who've been there before. You can pull that off.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah. I mean, you saw the skill from those guys yesterday. I mean, those goals that they were making. I mean, and that's what you want. Like you said, they're an exciting team, and I think you said it best. But as you want to be cheering for something, and during this time of the year, you know, give me something to cheer for.
I wonder if there's a player out there that they could get instead of free agency, get him now, and that's even more interesting because then you're really going all in on trying to make the playoffs. Well, a lot of people say that Kyle Schwarber should be a DH, and one proposed rule could allow him to do that if it gets changed this offseason, and there could be a limit on how often a manager can change the pitcher. We'll discuss the possibilities. And it's time to look ahead to the 2019 NFL season. What do the Bears need to do to play in Super Bowl 54 in Miami? Get the guys' thoughts next on Sports Talk Live.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
You could win two sweet tickets to a game and a Jeremy Roenick autographed jersey. All you have to do is register for your Power Play number at NBCSportsChicago.com/PowerPlay and then listen for the announcement of the winning number chosen during the third period of tomorrow's game against the Canucks. All right, baseball news. Major League Baseball and the Players Union reportedly discussing some rules changes that could be implemented as early as this season. Among the changes in reports by ESPN and The Athletic, a three-batter minimum for pitchers, a universal designated hitter, and possibly a 20-second pitch clock. Of the three, which one do you like the most? Which one do you like the least?
Well, of the three, the 20-second pitch clock is the one they want. I'm convinced everything else is just window dressing to get the pace of play going. You know, the pitching change or the pitching rule accomplishes that, but I think that changes the fabric of the game in a way that a pitch clock does not. I am anti-universal DH. The rules of baseball say it is a, you know, 9-on-9 game. That's what it says. It still says that, even though the American League decided to do something different. And just because the Major League Baseball Players Association wants something doesn't make it a good idea. They want it because, guess what? More hitters equals more money. That's the motivation behind it. It has nothing to do with the good of the game.
Look, I love the whimsy of pitchers hitting home runs. Bartolo Colon socking that dinger off James Shields. Tremendous sports highlight.
Carlos Zambrano hitting home
Mark
runs.
Mark Burley. But ultimately, for the quality of the game, watching a pitcher flail away at three pitches or lay down a bunt is not what I really want to see. I love it when a pitcher hits a home run, but that happens like so rarely. So give me a universal DH and give me Kyle Schwarber as the Cubs DH, and it will improve the quality of the game more than I think speeding up the pace of the game will.
Yeah, JJ, I agree with you 100%, wholeheartedly, sorry. I think definitely a universal DH is the way to go. Make the game more exciting. I mean, everybody wants more entertainment. I understand the rules, and that's a nice little thing you're pointing out there, but I think ultimately, to me, that's my favorite of the three, because that was the question.
Okay.
But my least favorite, without a doubt, is where a pitcher has to face a minimum of three batters.
Yeah, I agree.
That, to me, but I think, like you were saying earlier, it's a bargaining chip,
right?
They know they're not going to get a relief pitcher to come in and face three batters, but maybe they can negotiate from that point.
And to me, I don't like watching pitchers strike out at all, but the strategy that it brings on the mound with, do we go get him? Do we make a double switch? This is stuff that makes baseball more interesting, not less interesting, and I think that goes away in the American League game. Also, are we just going to add a DH to National League teams, what, 6 weeks before
that
the season
starts? That is
ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to sit here and say all interleague games will have a DH, cool. If you want to sit here and say NL home games in interleague will have a DH and ALs won't, just to give fans something else, cool. But you just can't sit there and go, you need a DH.
Pat, good news, though, there are a lot of good free agents still available.
Oh, that's true. I don't know why don't they have this discussion before the winter meetings?
Because
relievers would change, too. Even if they did the pitch change, then you wouldn't have the need for a loogie, the left-handed guy that only faces left-handers.
To me, the change they need to make isn't the pitchers facing three batters. It's give a team a set number of pitching changes they can make during a nine-inning game. So set it at whatever number you want, and then if you want to bring in a guy to face one batter and get him out, then you have to compensate for that by bringing in a reliever for maybe 1 2/3 innings instead of he has to face three batters.
With an asterisk for injuries. And then I'm in on that.
But then there are faked injuries.
Well, that's okay. That's in every sport, then
you better carry a long reliever.
Well, I mean, part of the reason for all of this is 2 years ago, the Dodgers started, you know, shuffling their starting pitchers down to the minors or down to the DL, you know, with these phantom things, you know, with that 10-day DL. Now they're thinking of going back to a 15. I think that makes more sense when you're talking about managing a pitching staff than putting some limit on how
many. Well, see, I think the impetus of this was the Brewers with Brandon Woodruff, where they'd bring in Wade Miley for one batter and then pull him out. I think that may be more of the impetus.
One pitch sometimes. Now, just to give my buddy Pat a little defense on the DH thing, even though I was always, I'm a National League guy and I don't really care for the DH, but now that the game is slowed down and I do want to see more offense. However, the other side of it is, you keep telling me you want to speed up the game.
Mm-hmm.
The fastest batter in the whole game is the three-pitch strikeout to the pitcher.
Right.
So now the game's going to be 15 minutes longer because a real batter is going to be up there.
Yeah.
And possibly trotting around the bases.
Great point.
Right. So, and I think having a pitcher and having a double switch brings in better defenders, oftentimes a defensive replacement. That leads to more outs than it does the continuation of the game. Also, and I hate to bring this up again, the rules say 9-on-9. That's what the rules say. Why don't we stick with that?
I'll repeat 1,000 times the one change I want, no warm-up pitches for relievers.
Love that.
Wow. Just come in and start throwing.
Can they come
no
in
other
on?
Sport does it happen. The quarterback doesn't
Do they have to sprint in like John Rocker?
No. Bullpen get him on cart? A golf cart.
Yeah, yeah, bring back the bullpen cart.
He's coming in, but what running back comes into the game and says, I need a couple carries before they count? It doesn't happen. Biggest Bears need this offseason. We got the Super Bowl is over with. Let's move on to 2019. How do the Bears get to the Super Bowl outside of kicker? Because we all know they need a new kicker.
You took away the easy one.
No, that's too easy.
They need a slot cornerback, whether it's Bryce Callahan or somebody else, in part because they can't plan on their corners staying as healthy as they've been. That's good insurance. And also in this league, you just need three cover corners. You just do. Blocking tight end, I know nobody gets too excited about those, but that's necessary. And maybe a running back that fits what Matt Nagy wants to do a little better than Jordan Howard does. That doesn't mean I'd chase Jordan Howard off in his contract year, but I think you need a little more variety than Taquan Mizell gave you when you're lining up for the five wide.
I think that they need better depth than I think we might realize. They were so lucky with injuries this year. They did not miss a lot of games. They didn't miss a lot of starters. I think you need better depth at outside linebacker, which is, I mean, literally you could say that about every team. But cornerback, you need better depth. I think you need better depth behind Trey Burton at tight end. You need better depth probably on the offensive line. I mean, you always need that. But I just think that this is going to be such an issue next year because Ryan Pace even made mention of it during his end-of-the-year press conference that, yeah, we did get a little lucky with injuries. So they need to figure out if the depth they have in place right now is good enough or if they need to go out and be a little bit creative with their salary cap with their draft picks to bring in more.
Yeah. They gave money to Massey, but that shouldn't change everything.
No,
they still have a little money.
Yeah, we got some wiggle room, and it would be great. I agree with you 100%. I think depth is something that the Bears definitely have to look at. And for me, particularly in the tight end position. It was great to see what Trey Burton did. I would love to see more from Adam Shaheen, you know, and if we can just have someone who Mitch can just, you know, kind of unload the ball to quickly, I think for me that is important.
The offense can't fall apart without Trey Burton like it did against the Eagles.
Right.
That cannot happen again.
So what do you make of Shaheen? Where do we put him now? Because the baby Gronk thing is over. He's not baby Gronk. But is he good enough to be the backup?
This is, baby Gronk, JJ knows. Oh, I hate the baby Gronk thing.
Stop it. He's not even.
It's not a thing.
He's not even a third.
Yeah, Gronk doesn't even think it's a thing.
Yeah, no. Gronk had never heard of him when we asked Gronk about him. Literally, he had not heard of him. Do you know what Gronk did in the Super Bowl that was great? Gronk blocked.
Yep.
Gronk blocked like a mother. And nobody ever will accuse Shaheen of being able to do that. Shaheen needs to block. He needs to use his gigantic, 6'7"?
270.
270
sure.
Size to his advantage. We haven't seen evidence that he can do that yet. Because of that, I think you need a blocking tight end. But he's also got to get better because at some time, he's going to have to put his hand on the ground and go get some
I guys. Think Pat's right, but it's risky to go into this year saying we need to count on Adam Shaheen to be the Y tight end in this offense because he hasn't really proved anything. And this last year was essentially a wash because of the injury. So we don't really know what you have in him. But if you go into the year with Adam Shaheen as your number one and your primary Y tight end, what's to say he won't get hurt again? What's to say he won't take that next step? And if you do that, then you're back to kind of where you were on offense, and maybe you can't do some of the things you want running the football.
Callahan and Amos, if it comes down to having one guy come back, which one's more likely to be on the Bears, and which one do you want more on the Bears?
I had this argument with my brother yesterday. It was literally argued, and I said wholeheartedly Callahan, just because of what I feel like he does for the team. Can you recreate an Amos in a strong safety type position and draft someone young and get him in to do the same kinds of things? Absolutely. But Callahan did those intangibles, those things that didn't show up on the stat sheets that you were like, yes, getting the team hype and stopping drives.
Tell your brother you're absolutely right.
Thank you. Yep. I
appreciate
that.
You don't want to invest too much money in the safety position because you're going to have to pay Eddie Jackson in a little bit, too.
That's a lot of money in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming for Illini Nation, but they finally beat a top 10 team for the first time in 6 years. So naturally, the students stormed the court. But should they have acted like, hey, we've been there before?
For monster coverage of the Monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
There was a party at Cam's in Champaign last night for the first time since 2013. Illinois beat a top 10 team as the Illini upset Michigan State, and the student section celebrated by storming the court. Obviously, understandable since the program has been down in recent seasons, but some longtime Illini fans wanted the students to act like they'd been there before. Here's one example, quote, "I know it's been a while since Illini basketball beat a top 10 team, but to rush the court is embarrassing. Hashtag Illini." How do you feel about that?
First of all, they haven't been there before. They haven't beaten they haven't beaten a team this good in 6 years.
I mean, D. Brown is not walking through the door.
Darren Williams is not walking through the door. Their football team has not been there before. If you're a student there, you have not seen.
That's true.
You have not seen a victory that mattered to you. If you're a senior, maybe ever. Of course you can storm the court.
The students haven't been there before.
Absolutely. The students have not been there before.
One of my favorite college memories came when Missouri basketball was ranked in the top 20. And we beat Kansas on a last-second shot. Shout out to Zaire Taylor. And we rushed the court. And it was like, okay, this is a huge win. And Mizzou that year went on to make the Elite Eight. But rushing the court was awesome. It was so much fun. And I don't care. Mizzou has also been there before, sort of. Not to a Final Four. But to say that students shouldn't rush the court, being embarrassing. I don't know. They're college kids. It's fun.
Can I real quick? These are two Missouri alums.
Yeah, right. Because good point. We don't just like Illinois that much.
We just managed to turn a U of I conversation into a Missouri conversation.
Let me play everything.
All right, quickly, bring it back this way. Right? So as a city guy from Chicago, I've been to U of I so many times to have beverages, many occasions, many frat houses. So those guys were ready to party from the beginning. And to give them an opportunity to have something to cheer about like that, absolutely, you storm the court. You storm the court, you party hard, you leave, you party some more. I mean, come on, those kids, they've been playing some good games as of late. Close games. They haven't necessarily took on victory, but they've been playing some good games. And for them to actually get over the hurdle like that or give her the hump.
But college kids, too.
Also, they won four of their last five conference games, four of six, something like that. They're actually a halfway decent basketball team now, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, they're not bad. Hey, they should start storming the classroom because that's what really matters about academics. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a great evening. Thanks to our panel. We'll see you tomorrow. Bulls pregame live is up next with Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Stacey King, and Will Perdue live from the United Center. I don't know who's paying for all of that, but it sounds expensive.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.